الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، مع بعد، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. So first I'd like to apologize for somewhat of the delay. I actually got called into the hospital, so that took a little bit of time. So alhamdulillah, we're going to be resuming our talks, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in it and accept it from us, inshallah. One of the things that you'll notice is that when you've, so over the past several weeks, I've had chance to travel, I guess, quite a bit. So one week we were in Vancouver, and then the next week we were in Saudi. So when you go for a trip, especially when you're going with family, one of the things that you inevitably have to do is you have to pack. And packing itself becomes an ordeal. So if you're going for one week, it seems almost that you're planning and about the packing for 1 week, if not more than 1 week, because you want to make sure you don't miss anything. And it would seem that, and there's some general principles when you think about packing itself, that the longer that you're, if you're going, for example, for just a weekend, sometimes, and you're just single and you're not really worried about many things, and you just throw a couple of things in your bag and you take off and you're done. But when you're, especially when you're going with a family and you're taking, and it's a very big trip, and your trip that you're actually going for a long period of time, then you actually pack more things. And the longer that you're going to stay in that particular place, the more things that you pack. So if you're going for 1 week, then you think that, oh, this is what the kids will wear on Monday, and this is what the kids will wear on Tuesday, and this will, we have to keep at least five jordy, we have to keep six jordy, because what if, and sometimes you keep extra, because they say, oh, okay, what if what this person throws up, or something happens, and you have to keep an extra. And so by the time you end up packing for 1 week, right, you pack maybe more than 1 week's worth of clothes. And if you're staying for 2 weeks, you end up even packing even more than that. And then when you're packing, one of the other things that you do is, especially when it becomes complicated and there's many people going and it's a very important trip, that you make lists. So you make a list that I have to take my iPod, and I have to download this tafsir on it before I go, so I have something to do on the plane, and keep crayons to keep the kids busy, and first aid kit. And you keep on thinking, and then you're like, oh, I forgot about that, we should also keep that. And you make this whole list, and you're constantly going over the list to make sure that you don't miss anything, and that you don't have to make sure that you've kept the things that you have. And you try to keep on top of things by making that list. And it's sort of funny, because even though all the lists you make, at the last minute when you're hurrying to get out, you end up either forgetting to even look at the list in the first place, or because you have to try to make the plane, or even there's some things that you had written down, but you still end up not remembering to put them with you. And then when you get there, you're like, oh my God, I believe that was on the list, we didn't keep it. Subhanallah. And then the other thing that you notice is that when you're traveling, you also have to be careful, especially with the TSA measures now, that there's certain things you can take and there's certain things that you can't take. So you're very careful. And even when you're overseas and you're buying gifts for everything back, the one of the questions that always comes in people's minds, there's a couple of questions, right? So for example, people are buying jewelry, then they're worried about, am I going to get hit with customs or duty and this and that, or anything. They're wondering if they're going to get hit with customs. But more importantly, they're worried about whether it will make it through customs in the first place. So you buy fruit, or you buy dates, or you buy this, and you're like, I wonder if they're going to hold this up. So you're worried about it on the way there, and you're also worried about it on the way back. When you're bringing anything back, that I don't want to get caught up in customs. I don't want to be taken for questioning. I don't want to, right? Especially when you're Muslim, then you're like, I don't want the hassle, right? And you'd rather do without some things than have the headache of having to deal with that. Right, rather do without than having to deal with that. And so, for example, some people might be thinking, okay, hand cream, right? This is 2.5 ounces. It's awfully close to 3 ounces. And I wonder, is that really a liquid, or is that semi-liquid? Can I take it? Can I not take it? Right? It'd really nice to have some hand cream on the way. But you think about it and you're like, no, just forget about it. Right? It's not worth it, because this is a trip we planned for so long. We're investing so much money. Why would we take a risk to ruin the whole trip, right? Ruin the whole trip by going this. So forget about firearms and those type of things. Even something as benign or innocuous as hand cream, people start worrying about these things, because they're like, I don't want to get delayed. I don't want to miss my connecting flight, right? If I, by the time we get through security and all these type of things, so they are, so you want to get caught up in customs, and the worst case scenario is that you actually get detained, right? No one wants to get detained. And then one of the other things that I think people think about often is security, right? Security of the things that they're taking. So in particular, there's two things that everyone always worries about. They worry about their passports, and they worry about the cash that they're taking with them. Less so about credit cards, because they think they can always call and cancel the credit card. But passports, if you miss your passport, then you're stuck. You can't travel forward. You can't go anywhere. You're really up, you know, they say in this country, a river without a paddle. You're really in a difficult situation. And it actually happened to actually one of the members in our group when we were over there. I think he was at the Multadam or something like that. He was at the Kaaba. He had his passport with him and his cash with him. And subhanAllah, they both were gone. And so when he came back, then the whole group was leaving and then going to Medina. And then now he couldn't travel, and he didn't know what to do. So subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hosting is so beautiful. From those millions of people, there's someone, I guess, found the passport, they turned in the passport, and when he went to that office, they said, "Oh, here's your passport," and they gave it back to him. Alhamdulillah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows how much du'as he must have made, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the du'a. So when there was no chance of that, it actually ended up happening. But people are worried about security, so much so that they buy these special belts, right, to tie underneath your ihram. They get a special backpack that, that the pickpocket can't cut this, safeguard where they can't cut the strap. And people think all these things because they're like, I can't take a risk. These things are so important, right, for my trip. So in the same way, these are small trips that we take our life, right? Even though they might be momentous in the sense that we're going to Umrah, we're going to Hajj, we're going for a big family vacation. At the end of the day, these are all small trips because none of them are going to be longer than a week, right? Or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. They're just generally short trips. But if you really think about it, all of us are also packing for a very big trip. And that trip is when we're going to go to the Akhirah, and we're going to be there forever and ever and ever. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبَقَى بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبَقَى إِنَّ هَذَا لَفِي الصُّحُفِ الْأُولَى صُحُفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى. And it really strikes an individual that, you're going just for 2-3 weeks and you spend 1 month ahead of time wondering, planning, worrying, having anxiety about the place that you're only going to go for 2 or 3 weeks and you have to come back. But this is a place where we have to do خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, that you're going to be in it forever and ever. There's no, the riwayah comes that when the last person enters into Jannah and the last person enters into Jahannam, that death will be brought forth in the form of an animal, perhaps a ram, and it will be sacrificed, and then joy will be increased to the people of Jannah because after that there will be no death, so they know that they're going to be in Jannah forever. And then despair will be added to the despair of the people of Jahannam, أو كما قال, because they know that after that there's no coming out of Jahannam. So that when you're talking about this, this is forever and ever. So a person just begins to think, how much I should plan and how much I should prepare for going on that trip, how much I should pack for that trip. And one of the teacher with whom I whose house I stayed in when I was doing his teacher, subhanAllah, he was the rector at Deoband, and he had come, Qari Tayyab Sahib, and he had come, I think, to the US back in 1984. And I don't remember actually. I was just a kid, maybe 6-7 years old at that time. I don't remember seeing him, but my parents, they would say that one time he had come to one of the masajids way back then in Chicago, and someone had asked him, just give us some advice, right? Here's one piece of advice. So his advice was so deep. I remember listening to it as maybe a teenager or a young, a youth, and it really stuck with me. He said that I think my parents were telling me this. He said that prepare for this world in accordance to amount of time you will spend in it, and prepare for the hereafter in accordance to amount of time you will spend there. So anyways, really advice that you can write in gold and take to the bank. That just reflects the same concept of packing for some place that you're going to actually stay for forever and ever. خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى, and it's better and it's more lasting, as it comes in the Quran. Then we talked about security, right? Everyone's worried about making sure that they safeguard what they have. In the same way, when you're making this trip to the Akhirah, there also is a passport and there's also some currency. The passport that every one of us has is our iman, right? Without the passport, you can't travel. There's no entry. And the currency that you have is our good deeds, amal salihah. It actually comes in the, one of the last ayahs, I believe, in Surah Kahf. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ That whoever desires to actually meet their Lord. And when you think about meeting someone, and you have to go and meet someone, you generally have to travel to go and meet them, right? So in the same way, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ Whoever has some type of raja, some type of hope in meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا So let him do good deeds. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا And let him not commit any type of shirk, meaning that you have to bring pure iman to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not associate anyone in partnership with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his worship. So, and when we generally travel, one of the things also, I mean, most people don't travel to places which are dangerous, but they actually have these websites where you can go and they have like security warning for global travelers. They say that this is a dangerous region, this is a dangerous region. And even in Saudi, I think on the website they'll give some type of warning that, you know, people who are trafficking drugs or this and that, they can meet with the death penalty if they go here. So on and so forth. I mean, at some of these websites, they'll actually give these type of warnings because the mores of these, the laws of these places are different, and especially when these places are volatile, people are very scared about going there. And if you know that you're going somewhere where it's very volatile, you take extra precautionary measures to make sure that your things that you need are actually safe. In the same way, you have to take extra precautionary measures when you're going to the Akhirah, because there's two very big burglars which are standing on the way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already told us, right? He put us on the radar already. They're not hidden. They know that they're going to be standing there. They're waiting to loot us. And they're nafs and shaitan. All the time our nafs is behind us. All the time our shaitan are behind us. And they're ready to burglarize us. They're ready to take away our good deeds. They're ready to try to rob us for our iman. So in the same way that a person... And no, when you're on a trip and you're actually carrying a lot of money because you're there for a period of time, almost every day you're actually checking. Right? You go through... No, the money has been sitting in a safe. But then you open the safe at the end of the day and you check to make sure no one... The cleaners didn't come in the room and take them some money. Does everything add up? We spent this much money, and you do the conversion. You say, okay, alhamdulillah, everything is there. On a daily basis, every 2 days, every 3 days, people keep on checking. Right? Even though they don't... There's no indication that anything has gone away, but something that's valuable to a person. So they keep on checking that. In the same way, a person should really keep on checking their iman, right, on a regular basis, and keep on checking their amani saniha, keep its type of record. And this is what we call in traditional terminology muhasaba. That, you know, our righteous elders, they used to have this habit that every night they went to sleep, that they would take a count of their day. Right? They would count to make sure that there's nothing missing, in a sense. And this is similar belief. It was Umar radiallahu anhu who said, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسُكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسِبْ and to hasabu, that take account of yourself before you are taken to account. Before you are taken to account. So we have to protect ourselves from doubt, from skepticism, from bad deeds, all these type of things, so that we can get the passport, present our passport, and go where we have to go. And also that we'll have enough currency to spend when we get there. Now understand that if you're going to, for example, some place which is like an underdeveloped nation, or a place which, you know, doesn't have as many facilities, especially if you're coming from the US, then you get some things from here because you know that you're not going to get it over there. Right? You know that you're just not going to get it there, it's going to be a hassle to get it there, so just buy it from here and just take it. In the same way, whatever currency you take from this dunya, that's the only currency you're going to have in the akhirah. And actually, there's just like vouchers. They're vouchers that you take and you present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for us. You don't actually have to carry the whole thing. You just bring the voucher, present the voucher, and you'll get your reward. Right? You'll get the thing on that side. You know, in India, Pakistan, they had this hawala system. And sometimes you give money on this side, and the person has a friend on that side, and they give you that money on that side, so you don't have to carry it. And this is a hawala system, that you present something over here. Actually, you go and present the voucher there, and you get what you need. In some way, you can think of it like that. There's some parallels. So, for things that... How do you earn the vouchers? Like, man bana lillahi masjid, bana Allahu lahu baytin fil jannah, kama qala Rasulullah s.a.w. That whoever, you know, makes a house for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a house for him in Jannah. So if you make a donation, you try to build a house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a house of worship in this world, then you go and present that voucher of that deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't have to carry the house with you, right? You just go there and you get your house on that side. Subhanallah. That if you've, people who... And so in on that day, or actually in the Akhirah, the interesting thing is that there will be markets in Jannah and there will be all these other things, but you can't buy any more good deeds. Right? Meaning whatever money you travel with, that's it. There's no chance to earn more money. Whatever you travel with, that's all you have. And that's when people are going to regret that I wish I had said one more Subhanallah. I wish I had said one more Alhamdulillah. And different things that people could have bought and planned ahead and taken with them, they'll regret that they didn't bring it with them. So there's some people like, who you'll be traveling with, and then they had brought, for example, maybe a first aid kit, or one of our friends, he bought a nebulizer, right? And our son had asthma, pretty bad asthma, and we were there, and as soon as we had plugged it in, the machine blew up. So then, alhamdulillah, our friends had kept a nebulizer so that, we were able to use it and it worked out fine, alhamdulillah. And my son was able to get the treatment that he needed, or else we'd have to take it to the emergency room and this and that, and a whole day of ibadah is gone. So someone thought ahead. Now, if someone had a kid with asthma, they didn't even think about keeping a nebulizer. You go there and they see someone, they say, oh man, that person really thought ahead. Right, mashallah. I wish I had thought ahead the same way that they had thought ahead. This is the same way in the Akhirah that some people, they're thinking that I need to build a house in Jannah, right? So they're gonna start donating to masjid, and then you start thinking, okay, everyone wants interior decorating. So when a person fasts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala literally, he decorates Jannah for the individuals who fast. So you have your interior decorating. People think about landscaping, right? And in landscaping, so every time you say subhanAllah, you're getting one tree in Jannah. So there's people who are doing their landscaping while we're just sitting here. They're doing their landscaping in Jannah. These are all people who are thinking and planning ahead so that when they're packing, right? Literally they're packing so that when they go over there, they'll be able to be comfortable. They will be able to have all the things that they want and they'll have a beautiful trip. It just so happens that that trip is actually home for them because they're going to stay forever. And then we talked about, there's certain things that you just can't take with you. And in the same way, when you're traveling, before that, actually, we should probably talk about checklists. So this is part of the checklists. You want to say that I need to take my house with me because I'm going to stay there forever. I need to take this. And the people who want to make a list, you want to be on the list that, I packed some charity for me. I packed some reading of the Quran for me. I packed my 5 daily salah with me, right? That's just something that you have to pack. It's a necessity, right? I packed the Hajj al-Salah with me. I packed this with me, I packed that with me, so that you have a full complement when you go. And then we said that there's certain things that you can't take with you. Now, I remember there was one person on our trip, they were taking gifts for relatives, and they had packed it in a box and this and that, but there was so much in taraddud, there was so, of two minds, whether or not I should take it or should not take it, because they're saying, look, we're going with the whole group. What if this gets caught up and it's difficult to deliver, or the person who's going to come in, it was a big box. So they said, what if the person who's going to come and pick it up, they get late and they don't come, people back overseas, they don't understand these things, they don't come on time. Now the whole group will get held up for us. And I don't want our group leader, Sheikh Hussein was with us, we don't want to inconvenience him in the least. So much riayat, so much care for the thing that you didn't want to take a chance. In the same way, there's certain things that you just can't take with you, right? Because number one, they're going to get you caught up in customs. They're going to get you caught up because there's hisab and kitab on the day of Qiyamah. You have to pass through customs before you get to the Akhirah. And so there's just the same way that we exercise, ihtiyat and carefulness, that you just want to take things that are going to get you caught up. Just don't want to take it. Just rather just do without it so I don't have to answer for it with the custom office. You don't even know, it's not on the list. It's not on the list. And people, like, for example, when we were going, they said 15 pounds is all you can take in your carry-on. And people actually, we bought this scale to make sure that, they had told us ahead of time that, this is a contract that you're entering into. And this is the blessing of our elders. Your contract, you're entering with the airlines, and you can't do any khiana in that type of contract. So if you're taking more than what they stipulate, then you're doing a breach of contract. That's not, amanat dari. That's not trustworthiness. So we bought this, weighing thing, and then we were weighing it. And no, in the past, I had heard that whatever you can fit under your front seat, like, you know, a backpack for the kids, then that should be fine. And that's probably the truth, that, you know, there's generally loose about those things when you enter. But when we're going, you're like, this is a very spiritual trip. You just want to take any, you know, any type of chances. So when you're weighing our carry-ons, which were those roll, those things themselves weighed like you know, 10 or 11 pounds. So we only had like 4 pounds. By the time you put two ihrams in one of them, it was already full, right? So we're like, oh, like a few ihrams in it, you're like, we didn't put anything in it, right? It's already full. But you say, no, let's just follow the rules, right? And make sure that we don't go over. We don't want to hit 16 pounds. So we weighed every single thing and you took it like that. And then, so you're exercising. People are being careful just because they don't want to delay the group. You don't want to get caught up in customs. And the worst thing is you don't want to get detained. We don't want to take something that, you know, the buzzer, you're walking through that square gate, and then the buzzer starts going off, right? T, 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 T. You're like, oh, no, right? Like, what? And, oh, I forgot to leave this at home, right? So then they say, oh, you're coming with us. You don't want to get detained. So in the same way in the Akhirah, we don't want the angels to be, you know, they'll be literally dragging people into Jahannam. We don't want to get detained. So you don't want to take anything that will take set off any alarms. You know, and it reminds me of like the, I don't remember the exact story, but the story of one of our pious predecessors that, you know, their Muslim brother had done something to them that had wronged him, some type of zulm, and he just forgave them. And when he was asked that, why did you forgive him, or why do you forgive people like that, he replied that, you know, because of this, that there will be hisab and kitab that will take in. I know that I was wronged, and I'll get that from him. But because of this hisab and kitab, I do not want Rasulullah ﷺ to have to wait on the day of Qiyamah. So this riayah of being careful that, you know, you don't want any type of delay on that day. And people hate delays. You get a 1 hour, you get half an hour thing. You said, my flight is at 7:30. Why is it leaving at 8? Right? People don't like sitting around just doing nothing. You're comfortable in that state when you're sitting. There's air conditioning, there's food nearby, you know, your family is with you, there's people to talk with, but still people don't want to wait half an hour extra. Right? They said, my flight has to be. Imagine if people have to wait and they'll be sweating, people will be drowning in their sweat, the sun will be brought so close, there'll be so much parishani, people will be literally going from Nabi to Nabi that they just get the show on the road. I might go to Jahannam, but I just want the hisab to start. So we don't want any delays on that day. And then the last thing I think that comes to mind about packing, I guess, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَزَوَّدُوا, and take provision. And actually, it's in the context of Hajj. Al-Hajju ashhurun ma'lumat, that, you know, Hajj occurs in certain months that are known. فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجَّ فَلَا رَفَسَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. That, you know, if you're doing Hajj in that time, then you can't do rafas, you know, there's no romance, وَلَا جِدَالَ, there's no quarreling, فَلَا رَفَسَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ, and there's no type of, you know, this disobedience and this type of things, sinfulness, فِي الْحَجِّ, in the days of Hajj. And then after that, وَمَا تَفَلُ مِنْ خَيْرٍ يَعْلَمُهُ اللَّهُ, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَتَزَوَّدُ, and take provision, right? Meaning pack up. فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ هُوَ التَّقْوَى, and the best type of thing that you can take as provision is taqwa. So, you know, if you really look at advice that people give for packing, you can go to almost any website, you can talk to anyone who's gone traveling, there's one universal piece of advice that everyone will give you. And what do they say? Travel light. Travel light. The less you take with you, the easier your travel will be. There's less parishani, there's less anxiety, there's less things that can go wrong. The basic principle, they'll say, just travel light. Taqwa is that element in Islam that allows us to travel light. Right? This taqwa, and what taqwa in this context you can understand it is buying that scale that you measure the rest of your actions with it to make sure that it doesn't go over the weight limit of the sharia. Right, the same way that we weigh each one of our bags before we go, you just weigh whatever actions that you're doing in your life to make sure that it doesn't go over the weight limit of the sharia. This is taqwa. And if you do that, then you'll fall within the parameters. You won't go over. Inshallah, things will go easy. And then we can travel lightly, inshallah, into the akhirah and back to our home, actually. It's not a vacation, right? It's actually, in one way, it's a permanent vacation, but it's really our home. It was the home of our father, and we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returns us all into that final abode with salama, without hisab, without any type of hiccups, in the most nice and finest of manners, in a very smooth way. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ